Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Saints Hour right here on the Saints Radio Network. Mike Dettelier along with Bobby Hebert. And, there's so much blend, so to speak, between what we saw with LSU and certainly the Louisiana connections, Saints connections, last night when LSU won the national championship. The crazy thing about it is you think about Bill Johnson, the former defensive line coach with the Saints, now was the defensive line coach with LSU Fighting Tigers because of an injury to their defensive line coach, Dennis Johnson. Coach O went out and get Bill Johnson to come in to be their defensive line coach. Greg McMahon, former Saints special teams coordinator, now is the special teams coordinator for the LSU Fighting Tigers. You look at it across the board, Coach O in 2008 was the defensive line coach for Sean Payton, and now being the head coach for the LSU Fighting Tigers. So, Bob, there's so many little different connections here. When you look at Saints connections, Louisiana connections, we spoke to Bobby April, who also is a former Saints assistant coach, now is a consultant on special teams. But with Bill, with Coach O, McMahon, April, man, there's a lot of connect the dots there when you look at it and how that got pieced together for a national championship with the Saints, with LSU.
Well, and listen, it's all about relationships, and you get opportunities, and whether it's NFL, college, NFL, it's all about that trust factor. If you've had good working relationships with certain individuals, you tend to get opportunities where they're gonna want to hire you. Mike, I'm trying to think right now. Who got opportunity? It wasn't Shanahan. I know it now. Mike McCarthy is now the head coach for the Dallas Cowgirls, right? Who did he hire as a defensive
Mike
coordinator?
Nolan.
Okay, what happened in the past? Mike Nolan was the head coach, and he hired Mike McCartney as the offensive coordinator. So now the script is flipped, right? Number to 49. So in other words, it'd be like you and me. You would be a head coach, and then I'd be offensive coordinator. Then we get fired. And then one day I'm a head coach, and then I hire you as a coordinator. So that's where Mike McCarthy, when you think about it, Coach Nolan, who they took from the Saints.
One of the things I would always tell Coach O, I know your resume if I look at Bill Johnson's resume. Because for a while, they sort of followed one another.
Exactly.
Bill would go somewhere, and then he would leave and say, man, listen, why don't you hire Coach O?
If I can recall the top of my head, like I remember Bill Johnson leaving University of Miami and went to Texas A&M. And he mentioned Coach O.
And he went coach for Jimmy.
At University of Miami. So it maybe started at Arkansas. I'm not sure about that. But again.
Well, and Bill was at Northwestern.
Yes.
And who took his place was O.
Yeah. And then you look at the whole McNeese. Bill Johnson, the LSU D-line coach, is a senior. When I was a youngster, Bill's probably, I want to say, Bebe Coach O's 58, I'm 59, Bill would be like 62. Something like that. So it's still all about relationships and its opportunities and who you could trust. And I think going forward, that helps LSU recruiting because that's both Coach Johnson and Coach O's wheelhouse is to get defensive linemen. Now, you could say, well, yeah, at any major school, you can get NFL coaching. For instance, the Saints D-line coach.
Ryan Nielsen.
Look
who was his mentor, Coach O.
Coach O at the USC.
And he hired him at Ole Miss.
And then you think about when all of a sudden the Saints hired him because the skins he was putting on the wall at North Carolina State.
And Coach O was trying to grab him there.
And so I'm telling you, once coaches find out, and it's a fraternity, everyone knows, once they know you can coach and you got a lot of skins on the wall, you have a lot of job opportunities. Now, it's not necessarily good for your family, because you're like a military brat, because you got to move. If you really wanted to coach, you got to be willing to move. I look at Coach O. Now, he's settled in Louisiana, does not want to go anywhere. But look where he had to go. From Natchitoches to Lake Charles to Fayetteville, Arkansas, to Miami, to Syracuse, to Los Angeles,
and Nichols
to
State
New Orleans.
There.
Yeah, and then to Knoxville. And then back. I mean, come on. You're living all over. Because it's all look, Coach Chamber. We just had Bobby April on,
and Bobby
special team.
Bobby also.
Look! All of a sudden, you think his wife wanted to live in Buffalo, New York? Come on, he's a number of years the Buffalo Bills. Hey, it's a great opportunity. I'm coaching in the NFL.
He was with. Special we teams. All remember vividly the Steelers. That's where he was such.
Steelers, Jerry Glanville, the Falcons. He came to the Saints. No, you coach all over. If you know what you're doing now, you got to be willing to move. That you'll have opportunities, but no one would want to live. Now I'll probably get some hate mail from Buffalo, but come on. But no one would want to live in Buffalo unless you're from Buffalo. Especially and now if you have a job world. Opportunity. If you're from the South, why would you want to go live in Buffalo? Hello, no, I'm not. Might want to live in Toronto, the New York City of Canada, but I'm not living in Buffalo.
I never forget Frank Lewis. Now think about this, Frank. Grew up in Houma, went to Southdown High School. This is even before integration.
Yep, Southdown High School. It ain't there no more.
And so Frank goes to Grambling, and from Grambling, he gets picked by the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers trade him to Buffalo. So Frank's looking for a house. And all of a sudden, man, they see some nice houses. And the realtor was showing him around. Frank was like, why is that flag alongside the fire hydrant? She was like, well, wintertime, and the snow piles up so much, to find the fire hydrant, we got to put the flag.
Well, in case there's a fire or something,
in case
so they can
a
locate
fire,
it.
You can't find where the hydrant is. So the flag shows you where the hydrant is. Man, that's when you know. He said, Mike, that's when I really knew.
I'm not in Houma anymore. I'm not in Houma, Louisiana. But Mike, you look at the Saints and the opportunities for coaches, players. You look at Drew Brees and where he's at. I think Drew Brees is coming back.
Yeah.
Drew Brees still has a lot left in the tank. And you might say, hey, Bear, you just, like, you know, your wife even told you, why don't you marry Drew Brees? You love Drew Brees and Tom Brady. I don't know. Maybe I'm holding on to the older quarterbacks and trying to give them credit. But think of Drew Brees. He wasn't player of the month in September. He was player of the month in December. So he had a bad game. A lot of our great players did not play great in the playoffs.
Look what happened against the Vikings.
But Cam Jordan, Lattimore, Ryan Ramczyk, Armstead. I can go on and on. Who truly we want to give a lot of credit? I don't know if we call them great, but they had great games. Taysom Hill and Deontay Harris was now they played winning football to earn the right to go play in Green Bay. But other than them, no, the Vikings deserve to beat us. Now, I mean, how we were in that situation? All I know is, if you just objectively watch it, like the Vikings 49ers playoff game, I don't know, the 49ers look at a different level. Jimmy Garoppolo didn't have to do anything. Just don't screw the pooch.
I just turn around and hand the ball off.
Don't mess up. I'm looking at the 49ers got their defense coming back. D. Ford
and Bosa's playing.
And Bosa, Quan Alexander, man. LSU coming back. And now that all I know is Dalvin Cook. Now, we stopped him in the second half, did not stop him in the first half. Did Dalvin Cook do anything against the 49ers?
Nothing.
I don't think he even had 20-some yards. I mean, so he put the pressure.
They slammed that door
on Kirk Cousins. So that's just so frustrating, because when it's over, it's over. You're gonna have great seasons. Think about this: we're 13-3, and then all of a sudden, we all know about the 9-call got ripped off to go to the Super Bowl. But this year, man, it was like over. You snap your fingers. It's not a series. I truly believe we're better than the Vikings, but they were better that day. and they beat us. No excuses. It's just so frustrating because think about this. I envision this. It'd be a football overkill, but I think we would love it. Who doesn't love to party, especially when you win and have a victory? But think about this could have happened. What if all of a sudden on Sunday the Saints would have went to Green Bay and upset the Packers? And then last night, LSU whips Clemson. Well, I wouldn't. Now we all celebrating LSU, but think about the Saints we'll be looking for coming up this weekend. Oh, we going to San Francisco. Payback. Come on. Can we turn things around? Can we come away with that win to go back to Miami? Miami twice, but that ain't happening. So.
We'll be back with more of the Saints Hour right here on the Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Saints Hour, brought to you by the Saints Radio Network. This portion of the Saints Hour is presented by Bullseye Event Group. Make sure to get your Saints VIP tailgate tickets at bullseyeeventgroup.com. So, Bob, you know, one of the things is free agency is that's going to be the first to kick in before the NFL draft. And certainly the Saints have a number of free agents that they would like to resign, as you brought up about Drew Brees. I think Taysom Hill is another guy that they'll try to come to terms with. It'll be interesting, though, I think, on two veteran players, two young players, in David Onyemata, defensive tackle, and also Von Bell. Von was having a terrific year before he hurt his knee late. David, we've seen a lot of progression with him, especially in his ability to stop the run. I don't know that he'll be the pass rusher. Certainly like Sheldon Rankins.
Right.
Because Sheldon's an elite interior pass rusher. When he's healthy, he has been one of the best in the game. But those two guys, man, two young players. And what's interesting, Pete Jenkins spent a lot of time working with David Onyemata, and he tells me, hey, listen, in a lot of ways, he's very similar to Akeem Hicks, who just was a blow-up player with the Bears. He was okay with the Saints, maybe not the right fit, maybe not the right vision. Goes to New England, plays well there, but they didn't want to pay him like they do it, you know, basically anybody other than Brady and the kicker. And so he goes to Chicago, He has been a big-time performer.
Well, I think Sean Payton also, year in and year out, has the vision that to truly be disruptive year in and year out, you got to bring the heat on the opposing quarterback. So I think the way the Saints are structured, that they know they have to keep pace and be considered amongst the best on an offensive defensive line. I think that really hurt us. If you look at that Vikings game, not having Davenport and Sheldon Rankins. Malcolm Brown, unbelievable free agent acquisition. More, I'd say, against the run. You look at Onyemata and all that. So I think Sean Payton, whether it's free agency or whether it's the draft, and talk with Mickey Loomis, they said, want to take the approach. Because look at the 49ers and what they did to Kirk Cousins. They want to be where, and listen, the first time around on the regular season, I don't think Aaron Rodgers, he barely had 100 yards passing. I'm telling you, I watched that game.
No, it was a wet-the-pants moment.
Aaron Rodgers was ready to quit. And then I go, what am I doing out here? He was so discouraged. Now, I don't know if that's going to be the case. And you can always bounce back because it's one snap and clear, new game. But I'm telling you, with the 49ers, when they're healthy and they want to bring it, that's what they do. And I know Sean Payton envies that, is that their pass rush. And it's all first roundless. You might say, look at the 49ers. They were fortunate. Yeah, they haven't won anything until this year, but they were stockpiled it. And they had
– then went out and get D. Ford.
They went out and get D. Ford from the Chiefs. Who we all know, Mike. But that's the thing I think Sean Payton looks at is how we can affect that opposing quarterback. And that's what's key because if you look at – how quickly things could change. You know, this is the first time since 1997 the 49ers were the top seed in the NFC playoffs. And then you look at it, how they've been structured. After four straight losing seasons, including only 10 wins in Coach Kyle Shanahan's first two seasons, the 49ers went from 4-12. Now, Mike, this is overnight. This is basically NFL overnight. this doesn't happen. This is drastic. They went from 4-12 last year to 13-3 this season. And aren't they the favorite right now?
They're the favorite, right.
To show you is the
NFL.
Well,
Kansas City is actually favorite.
Right.
But for the NFC, would be San Francisco. Yeah.
To show you the NFL and pros and how quickly, if you have the right players, to turn things around. Mike, that is drastic. 4-12 in 2018 season to 13-3.
You know what that reminds me of? The 2006 Saints.
Right.
That were flat on their back.
Because
Sean
Katrina,
came and just flipped the script.
We were 10-6. We had the number two seed. You remember how that? Considering what we were 3-13, I think, the year before on the Haslett.
Yep.
And then we turned around like that. So it can happen, but I'll tell you why the 49ers have truly turned around. You got to give Coach Shanahan a lot of credit. But I'm telling you, when they healthy, they got those guys up front. I was shocked that we scored 46 points against them. Now, they weren't all healthy. That's why, shame on us, we didn't win that game. That bothers me more than anything. That 48-46 game, what the hell happened? You'd have told me we scored 26. I go, I think we got a great chance to win. Well, we scored 46 and we lost. What?
And that
still ticks me off.
Because to me, the Falcons game, the Falcons just – they just totally
we laid an egg. The Falcons are the most underachieving team. To show you, listen, they come to New Orleans and they beat the Saints. They go to San Francisco, beat the 49ers. You know, in two games, that they sacked Drew Brees six times. They sacked Garoppolo five. Wow. They had 11 sacks in two games. No, they were underachievers. Not I know Dan Quinn. Maybe Arthur Blank said they turned their team around. I think it's good for the Saints that they kept them.
Listen, I got no complaints. I got no complaints with that. Everybody stayed sort of status quo there. And that surprised me because I thought Arthur Blank would say, hey, listen, I got enough of this. This is not how I did business in another business world. And to keep it status quo of back-to-back years like this, I'm not going to put up with it. I can understand 1 year with the injuries.
Now, that can't happen again. The team that we kicked their behind twice, and they were also underachievers. They could have won double-digit games, but their quarterback, Jameis Winston, who knows? Feast or famine, either touchdown or interception. Think about the two games we played against Tampa Bay. We whooped them. Tampa Bay looked sorry against us. I don't know how you play, how you match up. But, Mike, Tampa Bay could have been a 10-11 win season if everything's lined up, because they were in that many games.
Man, listen, I think with the right combination, Bruce Arians knows what he's doing.
I agree with that.
Bruce knows. Now, again, I worry a little bit about his health issues. He's long had those issues with him, and that the NFL long season sort of takes its toll on him, and we've seen his health decline because of it. But he's got the largest staff you'll ever see from an NFL team. Man, they just stretch the sidelines with all the guys that they have. It's almost like for every two players, they have an assistant coach.
Well, the coaching union, they're not against that. You want more coaching jobs and stuff. But, Bruce Arians is
good. And the Glazers are willing to pay him the money to do it.
Right. So I'm interested to see, and we always say this now, Mike, it seems like the last 3 or 4 years, next year might be Tampa Bay's year.
Eventually it'll happen.
No, but it's like until they actually do it, like I don't trust them with Jameis Winston. So you never know with that.
We'll be back with more of the Saints Hour right here on the Saints Radio Network. We're back here on the Saints Hour. Mike Dettelia along with Bobby Hebert in our Saints Hour feature. And so, Bob, we talked a little bit about some of the free agents. People brought up possibly some of the draft choices they could use, or first-round pick type people they could use. And I made the comment, I really believe this is one of the best years as far as wide receiver talent to come out in one spot. I mean, there's some big-time receivers, certainly CeeDee Lamb, who we saw play at Oklahoma, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs from Alabama also, Jalen Rager from TCU. Those are guys that you look at as first-round pick type wideouts. But there are probably going to be six guys looked at as second-round picks, maybe an additional five or six in the third round. It's going to be a heavy load of wideouts in the top 100 where you could see maybe 15 to 16 wide receivers get picked. You know what that tells me? It's a pitch and catch world.
Well, it's a pitch and catch world, Mike, but I still think I would take this. You know, I know you would too. The Saints have the 24th pick. What if we landed another Cam Jordan? Cam Jordan was the 24th pick.
Yep. Well,
come on, you know you would take that right now. If you can get that kind of production from an opposite end, not
and now here's the deal. How many times do you – that was a unique draft that
right.
Cam kind of fell to you
right.
at that spot. There were a lot of defensive linemen in that draft class. You would love to get it, but normally two things get eaten up real quickly. That's quarterbacks and there's defensive linemen, especially the edge guys.
The edge guys pass rushers.
And they get eaten up. So I wouldn't rule it out, but – I wouldn't rule out, too, the fact the Saints pick a linebacker.
Yeah, now, the thing is, you know what, I feel bad for and that boy. Because I'm telling you, that first half, was he in the Atlanta Falcons huddle Thanksgiving night? Kiko Alonso.
Mike. Then he tears his knee for
the third time. So now, obviously, he's like damaged goods. And another damaged goods, and he's younger, Alex Anzalone. Now, Alex Anzalone, in this day and age, I think he was made. Now, he got to be healthy in pass coverage. But he wasn't no thumper like Alonzo. As far as, making 100 tackles. Like, for instance, you look at DeMario Davis and the tackling machine that he is. You know, yeah, so when you look at linebacker and who's available.
Well, one of the guys I really like is Kenneth Murray from Oklahoma because he's a guy that can run the field sideline to sideline. He can play on the weak side, can play in the middle as a Mike linebacker. He can drop back in coverage. He can blitz the quarterback. And you don't find a lot of linebackers that can do all of that today. Either they're really good against the run, or they're really good against the pass.
Yeah.
When you watch Murray, man, he's a difference maker at that linebacker position for Oklahoma.
Now, Mike, when you look at what LSU did to influence the quarterback, who would you say maybe like with Chase on Chasson coming out? Where is he at
I think he's a guy that's going to end up being a 20s pick in round one. His ability to rush the quarterback
coming off that edge.
The guy. But you know where he really got better this year? Run defense.
Right.
He got much, much better in run defense. He picked up some weight. It's not so much everybody, I want – that linebacker to take on that big 330-pound lineman and throw him off and get – no, it's working around all those big horses up front, getting around all that traffic. And Chaseau's done a much better job this year.
And Mike, I was just thinking about this because we saw him block a punt, and he's out of sight, out of mind. Barkevious Mingo. What was his weakness? Like Cleveland, where was that? They run right at him.
Yeah, he was a little light in the pants. Okay, he's 240 pounds. Okay, I see him with his hand in the dirt. Yeah, you can rush your quarterback, but if I stick that big 330-pound left tackle on you, you ain't winning much. And all you got is that speed move, man, I catch you like a fly ball. But again, he's got a niche because you can use him as a designated pass rusher, and he's turned into a very good special team.
Well, if he wants to last, that's what he had to end up doing.
Because he's bounced all over the NFL.
Yeah, I want to say Browns, Seahawks, and then the Texans, right? Yeah,
right.
Now, when you look at Mike, I know it's still early, but potential guys, because of their contract situation, I don't see the Saints bringing back. I would say two guys, Andrews Pete.
Because he's going to be too much.
Because what he's going to demand. Yeah. And then also Marcus Williams. I think you can't pay Von Bell and him, so I think they tend to pay Von Bell more. And then I look at Eli Apple. The way I look at Eli Apple is the Saints might still obviously want him, but at their price. Does that make sense?
Yes, I agree.
Now, how about this?
Because the market is always going to be open for cover people.
Right.
No matter what, if you can cover, that's a market for you.
So what about now, do you think?
But Pete's interesting because of the fact that he's not only your starting left guard,
the flexibility,
he's your backup
left tackle. Right.
And so, man, if I'm his agent, I'll flip that card and say, hey, listen, not only can he play left guard, he's also can be your left tackle in a pinch. And so that's going to enhance his money status pretty well.
But do you think the Saints use Easton as leverage because they're only paying him $4 million?
No, I think what they're going to do, they're going to go out and sign a veteran guard.
Okay.
A veteran starting guard. We'll be back with more of the Saints Hour right here on the Saints Radio Network. We're back here on the Saints Hour on the Saints Radio Network. Mike Dettelia along with Bobby Hebert. Bobby, I just got a feeling that they're going to go and try to get a veteran offensive guard. We've seen Nick before play, and he's had his good moments, and he's had other moments he's gotten beat. I just think this team has shown in the past they're willing to pay guards. Look what they did, Jari Evans. They paid Ben Grubbs. They tried to re-sign Carl Nix. He got a great deal in Tampa Bay.
He was the highest paid guard in Tampa Bay.
And they went out and got Larry Wolford. So if you look back at history, this football team has spent money on that offensive guard position, and I think they do again. I don't think it'll be Pete, but I think they go out and get a veteran offensive guard.
Well, to me, the number one player I think they're going to pay in the future, Mike, and people might say, and look at skilled people, oh, and I'm not saying Alvin Kamara, is Ryan Ramczyk. Ryan Ramczyk is not going anywhere. I know they're paying him. Now, Alvin Kamara, that'd be a conversation you can have. You might say, what could you get? I remember, I think, talking with Deuce about this, is that look at Brandon Cook. We drafted him first round, a guy, and we end up trading him. And we didn't want to pay him. But then I'm looking at Alvin Kamara. Do you think if he was traded that you could get a number one for him? I mean, I don't think so, Mike, right now. I mean, because, you know, what have you done for him lately?
I don't know about that. I don't think you could get a number one pick.
So then, but what kind of – but then if Alvin Kamara –
because here's the deal.
So wait, if he wants
– unless Alvin's willing to do a long-term deal. Because if you're getting a rent player for a year.
Right.
Okay, so you trade a draft choice and, let's say, a number one pick for a guy, you might just have 1 year?
Well, and the thing is, listen.
You're going to have to do a deal with him.
They might force Alvin Kamara to play out his contract. Now, is he going to bet on himself? And he might hold out. Now, that'll be interesting, but he's on the contract. I think
the same thing with Sheldon Rankins. Those are the two big decisions you got to make this offseason with guys under contract. What do you do with Sheldon? What do you do with Alvin?
See, to me, though, Alvin wants Ezekiel Elliott money.
Or Todd Gurley.
Or Todd Gurley. Come on. There ain't no way the Saints are giving him that. I don't think. Do you think?
I don't think so
either. I don't think so. Now, Ryan Ramczyk, yeah, they paying the right tackle. I think the Saints, the way they're looking, to be in the hunt and the thick of things year in and year out. Now, I don't know if you go in at a Super Bowl or what you do. But to keep the fans excited and in the hunt, winning double digits. Now, eventually, you might get frustrated. But wasn't the entertainment value pretty good this year, 13-3? Now, you want them to win something. So what do? They know that if we're winning in the trenches consistently, we wish they'd win all the time, but that's not reality. But if they can win in the trenches and they build that way, they'll win double digits. And you have the right quarterback, obviously.
Bobby, there's always a guy every year that surprises you about walking away from the game. The word has come down from Carolina that Luke Kuechly, at 28 years old, is retiring from the NFL. He's had a number of concussions.
Yeah, he's too aggressive. You bang your head only so many times. I mean, Luke Kuechly's unbelievable.
But it
just goes to show you, don't let your babies to grow up to be linebackers. I mean, that's like, oh, when you stick your head in there, no, it's not safe. It is not safe. Look at Luke Kuechly. Who's a better linebacker skill set
than him,
Mike?
Look at Patrick Willis walked away from the game also.
Patrick Willis, Ole Miss. Coach O recruited him at Ole Miss with the 49ers. Man, I'm telling you, you bang your head only so much, all of a sudden you're late 20s and you're like an old man. Football.
So you talk about some huge news to affect the NFC South. It both happened in Carolina today. Looks as though Joe Brady's going to go there to be the offensive coordinator of the Panthers. And one of the best football players in the NFL today is walking away, and that is middle linebacker Luke Kuechly. We've seen him play man, he has been a big-time talent for the Panthers, and that's huge news.
Luke Kuechly, think about this, y'all, from the draft. When was he drafted? Mike, fourth overall? I know it was top 10.
He was a top-10 pick.
He was a stud from day one. You know how you said, oh, well, we got to wait. We got to wait till
they
develop.
Ain't no waiting with him.
There wasn't no waiting. Luke Kuechly was an animal from day one. He was not no weak link ever for Carolina.
Again, huge news breaking in Carolina, not just about Joe Brady, but the fact that the multi-time All-Pro and I think a future NFL Hall of Famer, Luke Kuechly, has announced on social media he is walking away from the NFL. We'll be back with more of the Saints Hour right here on the Saints Radio Network. Mike Dettelier, Bobby Hebert here on the Saints Hour on the Saints Radio Network, and it's brought to you by the Cox Fastest Play of the Game, the Blazing Fast Gigablast from Cox. Bob, again, before we broke on the last break, news coming from Carolina, sudden and certainly caught a lot of people off guard, the retirement of Luke Kuechly, who is certainly one of the premier defensive players in pro football. So they got news earlier during the day. It looked as though Joe Brady will be the offensive coordinator for Matt Rhule. But, man, when you lose a guy like Kuechly, it's not like you can go sign somebody that's in his area code as a player. And he ain't nobody close.
Yeah, you can go sign whoever you want.
They ain't Luke Kuechly.
Luke Kuechly, Mike, is a Hall of Famer. I'm looking 8 years in the NFL. You know what that reminds you of?
And he came out early as a junior from
BC. When you're not playing double digits and you're still a Hall of Famer, you know what it reminds me of? I'm looking at, didn't Gail Sears play 7 years? Hall of Famer.
Terrell Davis.
Jim Brown. You remember how I'm going to be an actor?
Yeah, man, they're paying me more to be an actor in Europe.
But
yeah.
you understand what I'm saying? Here's Luke Kuechly. An 8-year career, and you know, you're always thinking
about it. And you know, it's the health part. Not to do it to be an actor like Jim Brown did or anybody else.
No, he's just so aggressive. And to me, Mike.
The vivid memory of Kuechly to me is sitting on that cart and him just bawling his eyes out in tears when they played the Saints when he got a concussion.
Yeah.
Didn't even know where he was at that point in time.
No, it was kind of sad, and I think that's where he's looking at in his life right now, that where he's at. But to me, you talk about playing against the run and the pass, his instincts and pass coverage.
They ain't many like him.
I think one of the best in NFL history, obviously. And Drew Brees will tell you. Drew said that it's amazing, a student of the game, that Luke Kuechly.
He would be calling the plays.
Right. He studied film like a quarterback and almost could try to help his teammates to know where the ball was coming. So I know Drew Brees comes back. He won't be disappointed. Now, he'd be for Luke Kuechly not coming back. But on the field, obviously.
Personally, you don't like to see a guy.
Right.
But that's a decision similar to Andrew Luck that you know what's best for your body and your mind. At that point. And when you start thinking about retirement, it's almost like in the real world, too. When you really start seriously thinking about retirement, retirement's right there. And so for Luke, I think he might have thought about this for a while and say, you know what, let me give it a couple weeks and think about it. Since the season's ended, you know what, I haven't changed my mind. I'm walking away.
And, you know, it'll be interesting to see, because you look at the running back position, how much a back is utilized. I can remember Jamal Anderson with Atlanta. He'd have 400-some carries in a season. Well, and eventually, you know, you get worn out, and he blew out his knee and all that. Kind of with another Carolina by Christian McCaffrey. Come on, kid. Now, I mean, he had a season this year that was unbelievable. When you're talking about, like, Chris Johnson with the Cardinals, you're getting 2,000 yards. How can you sustain that? Now, the new coordinator.
Now you talk about some heavy workload. Right. He's going to have it.
I mean, now you would say.
So for Joe Brady, I mean, man, McCaffrey, to him, man, you got to have, it's almost like gold.
But that'd be almost unrealistic to expect him back-to-back seasons in 2020 to do the same thing. Now, he might be able to do 1,500 or whatever, but 2,000, what he did as a pass-receiving running back and running the ball, Mike, it was unbelievable, Christian McCaffrey.
The other thing, too, with the Panthers, and I think most people there thought the guy to retire to maybe go to the booth would be Greg Olsen.
The tight end, yeah.
because I think he has thought about it a little bit, and he's dabbled a little bit in TVs. Where I know worked for the NFL Network, done some things there, and Greg's really good. If you listen to him, man, he's got great insights to the game. But I
and
think
he does a lot of charity work inside.
And,
yeah.
You know, and I remember this was a few years back. He had a son that had a major heart
right.
issue. And, in fact, actually, who did the story was actually Jen Hale from New Orleans. Jen did the story on Greg Olsen's son and the surgeries he's went through. And he's better today, much better today with everything. But I think people there thought the retirement would be Olsen. It wouldn't be Luke Kuechly.
Yeah, that's shocking. And then Joe Brady now leaving LSU and going to Carolina. That's the word on the street. So we're going to constantly break that down the rest of the week. And, Mike, I wanted to bring this up because we were talking about a few positions. But I'm looking at Von Bell versus Marcus Williams. I think the Who Dat Nation is more on Von Bell's side.
Now, again, I don't know what Von wants financially.
Right, right.
So that part I'm not sure.
Now, Mike, I wanted to ask you, what about Jack Rabbit? He's under contract with $11 million, 32 years of age.
I try to get another year.
And extend it?
Extend it another year.
Restructured? Or?
That way, you got to – because he understands he's a rent player at this stage of his career. You try to get 2 years out of him.
And a rent player who played at a high level. He didn't even hardly practice with the Saints. Mike, he might be one of the best players in Saints history – that produced and didn't even practice.
Well, he's like the other guy from Pahokee who had that used to have that comment, man, practice is for the unskilled, because that was Ricky's line.
But you remember? I mean, Janari Jenkins, Mike, all of a sudden injuries happen.
And he's forced into the lineup.
Yeah, and what, he practiced one day? That's pretty impressive.
But he ain't never been a bench warmer in his life.
Yeah, right.
Never. We'll be back with more of the Saints Hour right here on the Saints Radio Network. We're back here on the Saints Hour, here on the Saints Radio Network. Bob, a lot of decisions to be made in the offseason, you know, and financially. You know, Mickey has told us this a number of times when he's come on, that cap number that people look at, that $5 million, all contracts today are worded in a certain way that you can open up money in different ways. And with the new CBA coming into play and the ratings and everything else for the NFL, that cap number, I think, is going to jump considerably. So,
well, jumping $10 million this year, Mike, and then you have the new CBA. And
with new money coming in from a lot of other sources.
No, be interesting at this time next year that when we're going into the 2021 season, can the Player Association and owners come to agreement?
That's why I think we're going to go to 17 games.
Or there might be a lockout. So I'm telling you.
I think you're going to go to 17.
It'll be interesting to see about a little over a year from now, if nothing gets done. And it comes down the mic right before the season and if something actually gets done as far as collective bargaining for the future.
Well, you know one thing. Nothing gets a deal done than a deadline.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. You set a deadline to say that's when we got to have it done. And nobody really gets that until it gets real close to that deadline.
So, to me, that might not happen until maybe August of 2021.
Yeah.
You know?
Because if you're counting on a deal this year, I would bet against it.
They could say they can meet here and there and doing all that.
And doing nothing.
And they're all touching the perimeters of what they want to discuss. But what actually gets done? No, you got your proposals, the pros and the cons and all that, then nothing happens.
Because
until a deadline.
deadlines get you to work deals done.
Yep.
That's all I know. In the business world, that's how it's done. One of the things is going to be certainly the TV money, because that's, to me, a tremendous amount of revenue coming in. But it's revenue from other sources, too. Now, because they streamline these games.
Gambling.
The gambling part of it. So, man, there's a lot of different areas here of how you're going to be able to control that. And from the player's point of view, is that hidden money? Is there some hidden money there that we're not getting our share of?
Right. Right now, you never want to kill the goose that laid the golden egg. That's why it's like the millionaires fighting the billionaires. So that's rich people's problems. The fans don't want to hear that. They just want their football. So they just want the players and the owners to be able to work it out. But right now, it is so good in the NFL, and you can even look into the future because what's coming about with the gambling and future stadiums and just the social media aspect online and all that's come out besides the TV revenue. How, listen, the next, Mike, you might have a bidding with CBS and Fox and all that. Watch Netflix and all. And
Amazon.
All that, they're going to say, what? You know what? Boy, look how popular the NFL is. I want to get involved in that, and all that does is make the pie bigger, and it gets bigger. So I'm telling you that the NFL is really in their heyday with the money involved. Watch over the next half a dozen, or the next decade. It's going to be the roaring 20s. Again, Mike, I was talking about the roaring 20s, 2020s. I'm telling you, the players know this. The owners know this. You know what's the only bad thing? In human nature, greed.
And there's greed on both sides.
There is greed on both sides. I agree with that. And you don't want the fans to suffer. Because that's when you got to keep the fans happy. You got to keep them involved. Like I said, they just want to get a deal done. That's rich people problems. They don't want the millionaires fighting the billionaires. They want to get something done with a future collective bargaining agreement.
I think the biggest thing this offseason is to see, do the owners blink and say, finally, we got to go to full-time NFL officiating. I think that's the outcry from every place you go, from fans to media everywhere.
Well,
it's got to be full-time NFL
full-time
officiating.
And I think after next season, that I'm telling you, the negotiations are going to be a lot tougher this time around than it was in 2011 because the owners felt like they gave up too much to the players.
But to me, they got the better part of the deal. I get it, but they got the better part of that deal.
I'm telling you, they're still thinking they're giving too much up to the players.
that sounds about right. Join us next Tuesday for another version of the Saints Hour right here on the Saints Radio Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.